with vector condensate set of gauge bosons. Vector means not just that vacuum expectation value, say, of time component is non-zero, which is not surprising now at dense QCD, but when spatial component of vector field non-zero. Rotational symmetry will be broken spontaneously. So essentially, let me show, this is other set of papers devoted to this, essentially soluble model with this condensate and those authors shown here. And I will start from actually QCD. But before, just a couple of words general, what kind of dynamics we have. So these phases with vector condensate of gauge fields yield unconventional type of dynamics. And one can formulate this dynamics in which Higgs mechanism is provided by condensate of gauge or gauge plus scalar fields. But we have Higgs mechanism. What is nice that in many cases, this dynamics admit a dual gauge invariant description as dynamics with condensation of colorless vector composite vector atoms. For example, in nuclear physics, people talk now about condensation of raw matter. But in dynamics, I will consider in the case of two-flavor case, we will get in this dual gauge invariant description condensation of exotic vector matters, and for free. Those exotic appear very, very natural. Dynamics are very rich, and it's clear why, because many initial symmetries are broken, including rotational symmetry. Moreover, some examples show theory phase with electric usual superconductivity. There could be very interesting collective excitation. For example, in this essentially soluble model, I say there are vortices, but quite unusual. Okay, so let me start from this stuff connected with neutral two-flavor QCD. It's based essentially on those three papers. And we will see that Leonic degrees of freedom play a crucial role. This is named Leonic phases in dynamics. We have vector condensate of gluons, Higgs picture. Color SU3 is completely broken, not like in 2SC. Rotation of SO3 is spontaneously broken. Actually, we will get landscape of vector, not just one solution, but only one of them stable, other metastable, but quite interesting still. And rich dynamics, I already said, exotic hadronic state, electric superconductivity in some of the vector. Okay, so what I'm going to discuss dynamics, this is a caricature of phase diagram of two-flavor QCD. And we believe that we have here a kind of 2SC phase, color superconductivity phase. And I'm interested in this realistic region. This is potential, so-called quark potential, which is expressed through baryon chemical potential in this way. So we really want to get a kind of realistic description, what is going on in this model. Of course, realistic when we are interested, especially in application, for example, in compact stars, means that it's neutral, electrically neutral, color neutral, it's automatically Gauss law should satisfy. If we do not introduce photon, then, of course, electric charge is global symmetry. We should put real chemical potential. Okay, few words about color superconductivity. I believe everybody knows here, but let me just do transparency show. So we know that besides standard in Band-Leon exchange approximation channel, which leads to chiral symmetry breaking, we have this channel, also attractive channel. And so strength is suppressed by coefficient 2 because of finite density and Cooper effect. We believe that we have dyke work condenser. Dyke work condenser is connected with composite dyke work field. So this is shown dyke work field and a triplet. This guy is blue, red, green color indices, IJ up, down. And we have dyke work gap. Dyke work gap usually is chosen in anti-blue direction. In this case, SU3 color is broken to SU2 color. And quantum numbers of dyke work, actually it's exotic state. It's certainly exotic because this is bosonic state. It has electric charge, it's fine, but it has baryon charge. We do not have in normal spectrum of QCD, of course, boson with baryon charge, right? Okay, let's go further. Neutrality condition. Just one transparency to describe. In this case, we have beta equilibrium, and we should introduce electrons. And we should introduce chemical potential of electron. I ignore photon. If you have photon, no need to introduce this guy. Automatically, you will get from Gauss law the correct description. But I will ignore photon. So I introduce this guy. And then one should introduce this matrix of quark chemical potential. So this is quark baryon, equivalent to the baryon chemical potential. This is now electric, and this is electric charge. And this guy is follows from Gauss law, color chemical potential. It's expressed through this vacuum excitation value. And this chemical potential shown for different quark with different flavor and color. Then neutrality condition, we get in usual way. We should construct free energy density, effective potential. And this is a kind of Gauss law for the case of mu A. Okay, many people understood the importance of neutrality condition. But people who really got interesting physics, they were Mei Huang and Igor Shostkova, who is here. They got very interesting some dynamical facts. But one of them, especially interesting for this talk, and it's called chromomagnetic instability. Chromomagnetic instability, what they did, they just calculated carefully Messner and Debye screening masses in 2SC phase and so-called gapless 2SC phase they introduced before. Just one loop approximation, half dense loop approximation. Delta U, this is half of electron chemical potential. It's important physical parameter. It gives mismatch of Fermi momenta between pairing quarks. And they found that while Debye masses are fine, so their squares always positive or zero, in the case of Messner mass, you have situation when this guy delta mu mismatch becomes larger, this is gap, with these coefficients square root of 2, they become negative. So chromomagnetic instability, imaginary Meissner marks. They showed this is correct for 4, 7 gluons, for 4 different gluons. This not the end of the story. If we take eighth gluon, it's actually m squared quite big, up to delta bar there. And then suddenly it becomes again negative, exactly to the gapless 2SC phase. And certainly it implies some instability. Frankly, I talked with Igor when they were doing this stuff, and it was clear for me, so I could be still wrong, actually, but still it was clear for me that it's something connected with instability which should be cured by condensation of gluons. But still, point is that they consider this screen masses, not pole masses. It was not exactly immediately clear that it should happen. So it looked very natural. Okay, it's actually, now we can explain, it seems, the situation better. In this paper, we consider calculation, same problem, but calculation of pole masses for those gluons, plasmons, actually. Just let's look at them. So in the case of screen mass, you consider static regime. So you calculate it at 0, 0 in this particular limit. The order is important. But now let's calculate spectrum of light plasma, if they exist. This is definition of light, much less than square of mu. Polarization operator includes, in the case of chemical potential density, 4 scalar function. This vector, of course, implies that Lorentz symmetry is broken. Those scalar functions depend on energy and momentum, absolute value of the momentum. Okay, we also know the expression in this case for pole masses. They are quite simple. So one should just calculate these functions, then you will get two magnetic modes, and they describe transverse degrees of freedom, and 1 electric mode, longitudinal mode, 3 degrees of freedom, like for the case of massive massive vector boson. Results. 4, 7 gluons, there is usual heavy plasma. It is in this channel. But besides this guy, near this critical point, we have light plasma. This light plasma describes quite simple formula near, again, this critical point. Magnetic 2 degrees of freedom. This is the kind of Einstein-like formula, but now velocity is very, very small. What is important, you can see that this so-called mass or gap, we can say, we exactly have situation when in subcritical region, this guy is small but positive, but for subcritical, it's negative. So it's typical situation like in sigma meson with scalar, but now we have a vector. Actually, it's interesting that while the bimasses are positive always, when we calculate pole mass of electric mode, and it's important because it's longitudinal mode, it's same particle plasma. So we found the same m squared. So same instability. And what we have, of course, nothing else, this is both the Einstein condensation phenomenon. We have soft mode, but it's not scalar, but vector. And it seems now no choice, one should go. Okay, so let's use this fact. It's of course not exactly the proof, but very strong signature. We have soft mode which becomes a theory.
It is a proof of this.
Sorry?
It is a proof of this.
Yeah, I agree. But you know, we know that cure can be quite complicated sometimes, right? But it's very strong. Right, I agree. So certainly we were happy when we got it. I mean, there is something interesting connected with the spectrum of ACE, actually, gluon, but I omit it just to save time, because it's not very important for this particular talk. Sorry, but we calculated this. It's connected with this gapless instability. And let me just show the cure, how we can solve this problem, it seems. Okay, now we had situation when near this critical point we have light plasmons and we should introduce them, right, in our dynamics. They are light degrees of freedom, no choice. Usually people, when describe realistic values of baryon potential, it's of course very tough to work with QCD itself, as you understand. And the conventional way is to use Nambu-Yonah-Lasinian model without gluons. It's like in vacuum QCD. People say, okay, we integrate heavy gluons, and we have Nambu-Yonah-Lasinian model without gluons. But now, no way to do this. They're light. So what you should do, consider in this case, gauge Nambu-Yonah-Lasinian model. And of course, we cannot derive it from QCD, but we can say it seems right words. You should now integrate not gluons, but all heavy degrees of freedom. For example, from gluon, in gluon channel there is heavy plasma, usual plasma, integrate. But you should leave light degrees of freedom in the model. Of course, you have effective cutoff, in this case, physical cutoff around 1 GeV as usual. But now, gluons are there. Okay, you work with this model in usual way, so popular in Nambu-Yonah-Lasinian model, Stratonovich-Hubbard tree. You introduce first auxiliary dipole field, and then you rewrite this Lagrangian density as quadratic in quark, anti-quark field, so you could eventually get a determinant connected with fermions. But now you have also gluons, so propagator is quite complicated. Of course, you should introduce Nambu-Virchow spinor, like usual, but also you will get, this is inverse fermion propagator. This diagonal part now include, this is important, gluon fields. You should retain them. And those, we just keep constant fields A mu alpha. Remember, it's non-abelian theory. I understand many people already worry about gauge invariants. I know this. Okay, I will come to this point. Don't worry, there will be answers, simple. This is Higgs phase, and you could find unitary gauge. This is answer, but you will see what is going on. Okay, so we consider simplest case, constant, independent of HT fields. They do not commute, of course, those fields, so it's not so easy to work with this stuff, but it's possible. Okay, so let me show, eventually, this is, I introduced this off-diagonal terms connected with dipole gap. And now we have effective potential after integrating over fermions for scalar field delta and gluon fields A mu r. Essentially, you should work with this stuff. It's not so easy to work. Remember, rotational symmetry is broken. Even now, one loop Feynman diagrams not so easy to calculate, because rotational symmetry is broken. But still, one can do this in some approximation or numerically. And we did both. So
you don't use a propagator with the fields. You just do expansions.
No. This is only in Ginzburg-Landau. Okay. But I will present beyond results numerical. But you are right. We will use Ginzburg-Landau, of course. Right. You are right. Okay. Now measure physical observation. When you have complicated technical problem, it's very important to have picture physical, right? So let's try to get it. Okay, so we know what? We know that this guy there breaks SU3 color to SU2 color. So it's, of course, very reasonable to expand octet of gluons over SU2. And then we will get, of course, a joint. Those two doublets, it's like color carrots, a kind of. And A mu 8, this guy is especially interesting doublet. It's vector Higgs-like matter with respect to SU2 color. It's matter, right? It's not already gluons, because you have only SU2. What is important that this guy, we know they should condense, this exercise show, just this guy becomes light. So this is exactly Higgs doublet with four components, like in electronic theory. But those guys, of course, vector. Now, because of the chromomagnetic instability, apparently we should expect that some spatial component of phi should condense. And due to SO3 rotational, one can pick up any axis. So I pick up z, phi z. And because of SU2 color, one can take only this condensate of this guy is non-zero. One can even, in this case, use unitary gauge when we say those guys, they will be eaten anyway, disappear, like in electronic theory. And we retain only this guy. So we know that we should look for this guy, for this condensate. And our surprise was we used Ginzburg. Sorry? No. No. We used Ginzburg-Landau. First, we, of course, tried to find analytic solution. And we found that in order to get second order phase transition, it's not the end of the story, not just one condensate. So this analysis shows quite tedious analysis that at this near critical point, but in subcritical region, there is solution with actually four non-zero condensates. This mu 8, it existed in 2AC. This what we expected. This is Higgs. But we have also two. Now, you see, SU2 color is broken. So it's not surprising that actually chemical potential connected with SU2 color, this is vacuum excitation value, is non-zero. But actually, automatically, to get second-order phase transition, we need also this.
Why SU2 color is broken? SU3 color is broken to SU2.
Right. But now, look. Point is that we have, for example, condensate AZ6. Like Higgs breaks SU2 electroweak, this guy, AZ6, it breaks SU2 color exactly in the same way. Exactly in the same way. Okay, So actually, altogether, those guys breaks SO3 to SO2. SO2 we still have because Z only component. SU2 color, nothing, but actually more interesting, electromagnetic goes to nothing. We have superconductor, electric, not color only. So anisotropic superconductor, gluonic cylindrical phase one, we call it, because there is cylindrical symmetry. Okay, let me explain why we have a breakdown of electrovic, U1 electromagnetic. Okay, this is Higgs phase, remember. So from the very beginning, the in neutral to flavor PCB without photon, our symmetry is this. So we have SU3 color, I mean Lagrangian. Now it's local, no photon, U1 electromagnetic global. And because we have mu electric, which appears like photon, SU2 left cross SU2 right is broken up to U1, 3, U right, U left, 3, U right, 3. And we have SO3 rotation. Okay, now when indeed this die gap appears, SU3 is broken to SU2, usual stuff. U1 electromagnetic initial also broken, but we know that actually one can save the day and introduce new charge. It's still okay, fine. Q tilde. Now, we change to this new electromagnetic group, fine. But now we have this guy, A63Z. It breaks SU2 color completely, but we still can save the day. We can save electromagnetism. We have this charge, 2 tilde. We should have T3. Everything is fine, believe me. And baryon charge also is fine, new. But now U1 goes to U1, 2 tilde. At last, because T3 and T1 does not commute, this guy, AC1, breaks U1 electromagnetic, and that's it. We do not have more cards to play. So this guy plays the role, actually, of W boson. This is condensation of W bosons, you can say. Okay, so we have quite interesting medium, of course. Now let me show near-critical solution we got from Landau-Ginzburg. Okay, it's a typical second-order phase transition. So you can see this is critical value. This is delta mu. Mu 8 is near critical point. You could put same value as in 2SC phase. Mu tilde is this combination. That's it. This solution actually describes non-abelian constant electric fields in the ground state. It comes from commutators. Those actually fields were known in vacuum PCD. In Seattle, for example, Brown studied very carefully this configuration. And unlike abelian electric configuration, they always lead to instability, of course, in all media, they are actually fine. And it's connected with a simple point that abelian always potential for constant electric field should depend either on T or X. But here, all stuff constant. So actually, energy momentum, good quantum numbers. So rotational is broken. Okay. Now, let me show unitary gauge. So actually,
did
you could.
Did you say it was stable or did you say?
Stable?
The
okay. I said that it does not, in principle, that if you know that in your media there is electric field, you know it's unstable solution. Here I said that it's actually at least local minimum. I will show you. It's unclear at this moment whether it's global. Yeah, right. But we don't know whether it's global or not. Okay, so in this case, it's, you can, if you like, to use unitary gauge. This is unitary gauge, exactly, when SU3 explicitly broken color in this gauge. This is usual choice anti-blue direction for dipole field. And this is now choice for this guy vector Higgs, where these fields are real. That's it. So then we can work with this. Now, it's,
actually unitary gauge, but you really need it first to get rid of the Coulomb bosons, because they are mixing. You know that they are mixing. That's what Spigur and Risky proved.
No. Okay.
So you have to get rid of them using the hoop.
No. Everything is fine. They consider non-unitary gauge. Okay? They consider Tov gauge.
Tov gauge.
Right. Tov gauge is not unitary gauge.
Well, it depends on lambda. You can take lambda equals zero.
Then they disappear.
Yeah.
When it becomes unitary, this is what I said.
So if
no
Tov gauge.
It's really lambda. Unitary gauge. That's
it.
Yeah, it's for sure. Okay, now the last part, and apparently no time I have for this essentially soluble model, but let me describe complementarity gauge invariant description. This is famous and old stuff connected with work on lattice, actually, Frankenschenker in 70s, and then Demopoulos, Rebbe, Susskind just models. That complementarity principle, there is no phase transition between the confined and Higgs phases if Higgs field is in the fundamental representation of the gauge group. And actually what it means that if in Higgs phase, for example, we have condensation of some color fields, then in this dual picture, we have condensation of some colorless composites. Okay. Let me show before some description. Of course, we did not work with this strongly interacting phase. But let me show what is going on, first of all, just quantum numbers. First of all, I'm sorry, it's from another paper, and this is notation for, again, dipole field. Okay, so this is actually what I before called delta A. Now it's phi capital. But what is interesting, that those Q, 2 tilde, B, 2 tilde, for all quarks, diquarks, and gluons, they are integer. In 2S, system, they are not. It's like in CFL phase, in the case of three flavors. This is a strong indication that those guys describe real adults. Look here. Here, they are fractional. Let me show gluons. Again, integer here, 2AC phase, no. Here, they are integer. This is indication that we have something dynamics connected with Hahn-Nambu star, and they are real hadrons, observables. But what interesting, look this. This is boson, of course, it charge, but it also has baryon charge. It's exotic. It's also exotic. So we have exotic hadrons. We should expect this. And actually, let me show again this only interesting transparency for gluons, how you can, following Demopoulos, Rebbe, Susskind, to construct those composites for gluons in this dual picture. Okay, now here we have, this is dipoles again. Covariant derivative, and this is anti-symmetric tensor. Anyway, it's colorless, And why in this language composite we could understand why baryon charge is non-zero for this boson. Now in dual picture you should use all QEMB because symmetry is not broken, of course, in confinement description. We have three dipoles. 1, 2, 3. Charge 2, 3 dipoles. 1, baryon 2. So because they are exotic, they actually they lead to these exotic numbers for real others, colorless, and so on. Of course, we did not consider real dynamics in confinement phase, like Freddy de Moivre's time. But this is quite a strong indication that we have this situation. Now, this is only phase we found which corresponds to second order phase transition. But actually, there are at least two other baryonic phases connected with the first order phase transition we found. Okay, and this is we use numerical analysis of that effective potential. Let me show results. The phase we call baryonic cylindrical phase 2. In this phase, no C, common set of AZ1. So electromagnetic symmetry is preserved, but SO3 is broken. And another we call baryonic color spin lock phase. In this case, we have again three non-zero condensate. This is 4. By spin, I tell you, one moment. One can show that in this, for this guy, this symmetry is broken to SU2 diagonal, which is a generator of SU2 diagonal, is described by tau 2 from SU2 color and TYZ. You see this guy, YZ, and you could compensate by rotation for 6, and this is tau 2 is doing. So we called it this. This is actually, again, anisotropic superconductor. So we have U1 electromagnetic is gone. Okay, this is numerical analysis done just, I believe, last week, right? We put the paper on web. Let me show just pictures. Okay, this is BMK, this is a condensate for those two phases. So we use more or less realistic value for nu, 400 MeV, but we consider from 300 to 600, I believe. But here, this figure corresponds to nu, 400 MeV.
Just to step, you have your first phase and 2 mu.
Right.
That should be three curves,
no? Okay. It's very good question. Point is that we still, nobody can do fair analysis of that phase I described in Ginzburg-Landau. There are more condensate. And moreover, they do not condense. So it's quite difficult at present.
So the two are only for this new?
Only to new, we produce numerical analysis fair.
But how is the question?
Sorry?
The question is, he had three new phases, so why didn't he show three curves?
For numerical analysis.
Oh.
That was very simple question.
Yeah, we still, nobody still can do numerical analysis for that phase. It would be very interesting, of course. Okay, so this is, you can see what is interesting. So this is delta zero bar is 2AC gap parameter. Defined at delta mu equals zero, when mu equals zero. It essentially represents the strength of the Nambu-Yonah-Lazimir coupling in our model, but it's very convenient to use it. Okay, when you have strong coupling large, you have 2AC. This is exactly border with 2AC. You can see weak, it seems, first order phase transition here. But here, this is weak coupling, close to normal phase. We have strong first order phase transitions here. And those guy large, like 250 MeV. So we expect that delta could be 50 MeV, right, gap. So quite big. This is numerical. Of course, Landau-Ginzburg cannot work here. Okay, let me show how you produce solution. This is solution, this is actually value, this contour of each contour of effective potential on this plane, B delta bar. This condensate 4, this cylindrical phase 2 for this particular value. You can see the minimum, this is 0, minus 1, value of free energy, minus 3, and this is solution. So it exists, so you have local minimum. Now let me show phase diagram. We included single plane low phase. Unfortunately, of course, because it's would be very difficult study, as Krishna knows much better than me. Multiple, of course, plane wave law would be very, very interesting, we did not consider. But we included normal phase, G to AC, 2 AC, and single plane wave low state. The answer, those two gluonic phases are most stable in quite wide region, essentially from 67 MeV up to 160 MeV. So this region covers all regions with chromomagnetic instability, including G to AC. So it's the most stable. It does not, of course, means it does not mean that there are no better phases. Love, actually, even single plane love is favorable in some narrow window. But again, remember, it's some approximation Huygens loop. We have close to weak interaction to normal phase from 65 to 67 MeV. This is some insert near this normal phase. Normal phase, as expected, is a ground state in weak regime here, and 2AC is a ground state in strong regime. So anyway, there are indications that gluonic phases could be relevant. I cannot say more, of course. Maybe we could get something even more interesting. We will hear talk with actually inhomogeneous, right, gluonic condensate. So, but at least here looks like a possibility. Okay, apparently I do not have time, right? No? Okay, let me show.
Say it's like demonstrating in usual QCD, you also have instability of magnetic field. You still do that and implies that you have a special direction in normal field because you have kind of field and okay. So I mean instability is sure, right? But then where we will find out a stable point, it's a different story. Did you try to look for a different type of configuration? Could be, for example, like in normal QCD, explicit example would be, say, instanton field. It's time dependent, but it is stable, I mean.
Arkady, I certainly agree with you. This is why I said that this instability, some indication, this is why we work with particular phases and show that it seems it disappears, you know. This is why we did this. Of course, I completely agree with you that because dynamics in phase with new condensate is very different, one should be careful in studying it. And we did this, what we could, of course. So we just consider a strong indication because it's still nice that this instability looks like exactly usual sigma model instability with soft mod.
Right, but say in magnetic field, you also can find magnetic field.
Let me tell you something about that. Actually, even in vacuum QCD, you could argue on yeah. phenomenological level.
Yeah.
Point is that it's known that, of course, massless vector bosons in magnetic field leads to tachyon, first lowest Landau level. But if you put mass, it disappears. So you could say, okay, there is possibility to consider massive vector gluon field with dynamical mass. And many people, for example, Schitzer and 100 people, consider massive gluons in infrared, right? So in principle, you still can say about some condensation, right? Connected with generation of the mass. But again, as I said, I agree with you that it's a subtle issue, and certainly one cannot say that for sure this thing happened. We just showed that this solution exists.
You shouldn't agree too quickly.
Okay.
In the vacuum, there are non-conformative phenomena.
Yeah.
Here, there is this mu, and mu in principle is whatever largest he wants. So he may think it would be perturbed. But he may use perturbation theory because of large vacuum, you don't have that out.
You mean that we have a good perturbative expansion? Cartan fold approximation is good, right?
Not at this point. At this point, it's not
at
the
point of the MED, but in principle, yeah. if you forget, mu is as large as I want.
No.
No, but this happens only certain.
Arkady, what Eric means apparently is that we have some dynamics for large mu and maybe large delta mu, one should consider actually in this case, when we have a kind of Bardeen-Cooper-Schrieffer. So non-perturbative dynamics, but weakly coupled. So this is what he apparently has.
Yeah. So
I think
maybe it's still wrong, but at least it's different argument
from the. I just want to make a comment that I think it's very natural to look for gluon condensation. Because precisely the point Bolli was making at the beginning, I think it's make it very clear that you have instabilities, and the instability clearly are related to these modes, and they are magnetic, and they also come out in the plasma calculation. So the most natural, from my point of view too, way to go is to look for the.
I agree with you too.
Yeah. Today you will not agree with me on Friday.
I don't disagree that this is a natural thing to look for, but I will point out that there's another natural thing to consider. It's an instability in the magnetic sector, as Volodya has explained very clearly, and that can be seen as indicating the need for currents. And if you have counterpropagating currents, you get the loft phase with a crystalline modulation of the condensate, and so that's a competing possibility, which you mentioned briefly. And it's actually been investigated more now in three-flavor QCD than in two. And in three-flavor QCD, the loft phase with many plane waves forming a real crystal beats the single plane wave one, which you used as your benchmark, by more than an order of magnitude. And certainly is fairly, it beats in the free energy sense. Also, the thing which is different in three-flavors is that as you go to large mu, Fermi surface splittings get small. Whereas a two-flavor QCD, since up and down have different charge, if you go to large mu and keep neutrality, the Fermi surfaces stay far apart.
Right.
So large mu two-flavor is actually a very, very different theory than large mu three-flavor.
It's no more phase.
Which is not the case in the real world. And in the three-flavor theory, where the crystalline phase has been investigated more substantially, it is very robust in its free energy, and it is. Kenji Fukushima has done a very nice analysis arguing that you look at the instability, you look which way you flow off the instability, you flow towards the direction in which there are currents. So you were giving the talk, you presented one possibility, but there are other possibilities very well investigated in literature.
Yeah, I also agree with you.
may I comment about that? Actually, there might be no contradiction between, in other words, that's not what I want to say. What I want to say is that you might not have to choose one of these two things. You might have, like for example, a non-homogeneous condensate would take you to a loft type of phase in a very natural way. You know, if you have gluons which are non-homogeneous, it's natural to expect that the delta also could be non-homogeneous. So, it might be more complicated, and it has a little bit.
Sure. as a point of, certainly in principle, yes. But once you have the loft base, there's no longer a magnetic instability. So there's no longer a reason to condense the gluons. But there's also no principle that says there couldn't be some amount of gluon condensation also.
Yeah.
So in principle, yes, but I don't see an argument for it starting from the loft side.
Let me make remark. It reminds me of this discussion, Russian discussion. Long ago, famous discussion when Pulitzer came to Leningrad, and he started to give a talk. And then, as usually, Leningrad, I remember very, very clearly a couple of seminars I gave there. People started to talk with each other. Pulitzer disappeared. And they talk, and then people ask, where is Pulitzer? And he was drinking tea. So. Okay, thank you.